السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم
The current world situation is something we are all aware of, in which disorder and chaos are strife. As I have said numerous times previously, that anti-Islamic powers lay the blame for this turmoil upon Muslims. It is correct that the actions of certain Muslim groups and organizations in the name of Islam, in both the Muslim and the non-Muslim world, are tantamount to nothing but barbarity and cruelty. Such actions have absolutely no link with the teachings of Islam whatsoever. However, it is also true that there has been and continues to be a deliberate ploy to create these conditions among the Muslims. Generally speaking, the greatest harm to Islam has been inflicted by Muslims themselves and by hypocrites who have been tools in the hands of these powers, for their self-serving interests. In any case, the state of affairs in the world today is largely grim. The wrongful acts of some Muslims has given ample ammunition to the anti-Islamic powers to vilify and defame Islam. Naturally, we Ahmadi Muslims also end up being targeted for criticism as well by this. Although those who are familiar with us are aware that the teachings of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community entail nothing except for love, peace, and brotherhood. However, the average person perceives Ahmadis in the same light as a general image that is painted by the media of Muslims and of Islam. In some countries, the nationalist parties and groups refuse to listen to reason or to anything. Their emphasis is only on acting according to their purely negative outlook and mentality. Such opposition is seen rearing its head in Eastern Germany as well as in Holland, where elections are forthcoming and imminent. Similarly, the right wing are gaining strength in other countries of Europe, and the situation in the United States of America is also quite apparent. Ahmadis are thus facing adversity and hardships, not just as being Muslims living here, but also face hardships as being Ahmadis living in Muslim countries. We face this merely because of the fact that we have accepted the caller to faith, whose advent was promised by Allah the Almighty. In Pakistan, the oppressive law has given the Maulvis, the Muslim clerics, a free license. And fearful of these clerics, the courts of justice are compelled to dispense injustice. And now, in Algeria, the courts have adopted a similar stance. And out of fear of the so-called Muslim clerics, they are banishing innocent Ahmadi Muslims to prison on completely baseless charges. At this present time, 16 Ahmadis at least have been punished with imprisonment there. And so how should an Ahmadi respond and act in the face of all of this? We neither possess worldly governance nor material wealth, and nor do we have oil money. Certainly, however, there is something that every single Ahmadi in the world should give immense heed towards, which is to attain nearness to Allah the Almighty through worship, through sadaqah, that is, giving alms and financial sacrifice, and through istighfar, seeking forgiveness from Allah. By giving heed to these aspects, the mercy of Allah the Almighty can be stirred, and it brings man under divine refuge and protection. I have already drawn attention towards worship and particularly observing prayer in my previous Friday sermons. Today, I will give more focus on sadaqat, giving alms, and on istighfar, seeking forgiveness from Allah, to show how these are ways to attain the mercy of Allah the Almighty. Man is riddled with countless weaknesses and flaws, and often he fails to discharge the rites of worship because of his worldly engagements. When faced with a personal difficulty, man will then start to offer a little sadaqah, financial sacrifice, alms, but otherwise not. Further, man does not give due justice to istighfar, seeking forgiveness from Allah. If each one of us were to analyze our own state, it would make evident that most of us do not fulfill these rights. However, if we want to receive the blessings of Allah the Almighty, if we want to attract His mercy, and if we want to render the efforts and the schemes of the opponents futile and to naught, then it is undoubtedly necessary for us to give attention to those matters which will win us the pleasure of Allah the Almighty and will enable us to attain His forgiveness. When Allah the Almighty says that He accepts our tawbah, our repentance, our istighfar, seeking His forgiveness, and our sadaqah, our giving alms, it means that we must first give attention to repentance and to seeking His forgiveness, so that He will remove our difficulties and anxieties and will draw us near to Him. So that He will forgive us of our past sins, grant us the ability to be a proper abd, servant of Allah the Almighty, and so that He will shower us with His mercy. As Allah the Almighty says in the following verse of the Holy Quran, أَلَمْ يَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ يَقْبَلُ التَّوْبَةَ عَنْ عِبَادِهِ وَيَأْخُذُ صَدَقَاتِ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. This verse translates as, know they not that Allah is He who accepts repentance from His servants and takes alms, and that Allah is He who is oft returning with compassion and is merciful. Explaining the significance of sadaqah and of prayer and their connection, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, said on one occasion, sadaqah has been derived from sidq. When a person gives sadaqah, that is, gives alms or financial sacrifice, in the way of Allah, it reflects the relationship of sidq, of truthfulness and sincerity that he has with God. Secondly is dua, or prayers. The promised Messiah says prayers develop a state in man where his or her heart melts, and he experiences a depth of feeling and intense passion. Prayer contains a sacrifice. If one does both these aspects, that is, he displays sincerity and he prays, then it becomes an elixir. Hazur says that both these aspects combine to produce an effective remedy. Thus, istighfar, seeking forgiveness from Allah, is also a prayer. When man prays whilst keeping in view his transgressions and his shortcomings, it produces, and it should produce, a zeal and a fervor. One should feel anguish in the heart, and he should not just pay lip service to merely uttering Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, I seek forgiveness from Allah, superficially, whereas his attention is not on God but is elsewhere, for that would not serve any purpose. In short, Allah the Almighty accepts prayers and He accepts sadaqah, alms, when it is given in a state of anxiety with the intention of attaining His mercy. Further, when one pledges to strive to his utmost to remove his weaknesses, and he endeavors to attract the mercy of Allah the Almighty, he or she is given further good news, which has been conveyed to us by the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, has explained to us further regarding the acceptance of dua, of prayer, and of sadaqah, of giving alms and financial sacrifice. So God Almighty said to the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, that tell my servants that if they take one step towards me, I will advance two steps towards them. And if they walk hurriedly towards me, I run towards them. Thus the mercy of Allah the Almighty is boundless and it is infinite. Then the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, also said that Allah the Almighty is greatly pure and munificent. He is greatly generous. God the Almighty feels ashamed to leave His servants empty-handed when they hold out their hand, imploring to Him and begging to Him in supplication. Of course, it is possible that man's supplications are not answered in the exact way or at the precise time that he had desired or wished for. It is not necessary that the effects of the prayer will manifest in exactly the way he had hoped for. Sometimes divine wisdom dictates that the effects of man's prayers and almsgiving manifest sometime later or in some other manner. And at other times, man's prayers may be answered immediately. We We must in any case have complete conviction in what Allah the Almighty has said, that He accepts our prayers. He accepts our istighfar, seeking His forgiveness, and that He accepts our sadaqah, our financial sacrifice. In other words, when man asks for forgiveness for his past sins, and also promises to avoid committing future transgressions, and he makes real efforts towards this, Allah the Almighty then accepts this, and He alleviates him from all types of afflictions and hardships. We should always remember that Allah the Almighty knows the state of our hearts. Thus, pretentious actions performed by us for show are rejected by Him. Rather, only pure and sincere actions are accepted by Him. And then, as the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, has explained, when one does this, Allah the Almighty will never leave us devoid of reward and blessings. Allah the Almighty is so vastly kind and compassionate upon mankind that the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, has said that one who is not that well off, who has insufficient means to give alms and charity, will still receive the equivalent reward to almsgiving if they perform good deeds and they forbid vices. Where they worship, their istighfar, their seeking forgiveness from Allah, and their performance of the pious deeds that benefit others will be accepted by Allah in the form of worship and in the form of istighfar, that is, seeking forgiveness from Allah the Almighty from one's sins. There, on the other hand, one's good actions will give them the same reward as almsgiving and sadqa. A person with the means who is in good standing will gain rewards by giving sadaqah, by giving financial sacrifice and almsgiving, whilst an individual in poverty, through his pious intentions, will earn, as long as he acts upon the other divine commandments, the equal reward to giving sadaqah, that is, giving alms. Thus, one should be extremely grateful to such a loving God, who has not only taught us the means by which we can safeguard ourselves from our shortcomings and weaknesses, rather He has also stated that He shall protect us from the future difficulties and trials by accepting our efforts that we have made for safeguarding ourselves from our weaknesses and our sins. Therefore, the only way we can escape difficulties is by prostrating before Allah the Almighty and by offering our worship and supplications to Him with complete devotion and sincerity of the heart. We must also pay special attention towards reciting istighfar, seeking forgiveness, and to giving sadaqah, alms, both individually and collectively as a jamaat, as a community as well. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has expounded on the subject of istighfar, seeking forgiveness, and of giving sadaqah, alms, on numerous occasions. I shall present a few of his extracts. Explaining the true essence of istighfar, of seeking forgiveness, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, sin is like a vermin or worm, which is subsumed into man's blood. And its only form of cure is istighfar, seeking forgiveness. What is istighfar? It is that one remains in the protection of Allah the Almighty from the pernicious consequences of the sins he has already committed, and also to remain protected from those sins which, though one has not committed, but has the potential faculties to perpetrate them. That is, one has the strength and the latent ability to commit a particular sin, and also the inclinations which could lead one towards vice. Thus, such an occasion whereby sin could be committed should not even arise, and is internally exterminated and reduced to clinker, that is istighfar. That is istighfar from the sins previously committed and to seek protection from committing any sin in the future also. It is also so that it kindles the mercy of Allah the Almighty and He continues to shower His mercy and blessings upon us. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, "The current time is one of great fear and trepidation. Thus one should remain engaged in seeking repentance and forgiveness and assess the state of their souls. The people of all faiths and the people of the book all believe that sadaqah and charity can avert divine punishment. However, this is only possible when this is done before the actual punishment befalls. But once the divine punishment comes into motion, then there is nothing that can be done to forfend it. Therefore, you should remain occupied in istighfar, seeking forgiveness, and in tawbah, seeking repentance from now, so that your turn does not come and Allah the Almighty protects you." Azur says that the present difficulties that we see before us are very minor. However, the direction in which mankind is hurtling towards without any form of restraint or limits, and while incurring the displeasure of God, is leading it towards destruction which is going to be wrought by the very hands of man. The world is stoking the wrath of God. In such a time as this, it is the duty of the followers of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, that while we seek tawbah, repentance, and while we seek forgiveness, that is istighfar, in order to protect ourselves from its harmful effects, there we should also pray for the world in general, so that Allah the Almighty may cause them to come to their senses. Explaining the true essence of istighfar, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, further states, "You should know that in the Holy Quran, Allah the Almighty has been given two titles, Al-Hayy and Al-Qayyum. Al-Hayy means the self-subsisting and the one who grants life to others. Al-Qayyum is the one who came into being himself and the true source of all creation. The internal and external faculties of everything and their life itself emanates from these two attributes. Thus the word Al-Hayy demands that he should be worshipped, and it is made manifest in the following words, Iyyaka na'budu, thee alone do we worship, found in Surah Al-Fatiha. Al-Qayyum demands that we should seek help from him, and this has been expressed in the words, Iyyaka nasta'in, thee alone do we implore for help. The promised Messiah states, "The reason why the word Al-Hayy demands that we worship him is because he has created man, and after creating him, he has not left him to be. For instance, a building will not be affected in any way if the person who has constructed it dies. However, man is in constant need of God the Almighty. Therefore, and that is why it is necessary that he seeks strength from him, and that is istighfar." Hazur says that istighfar means to continuously seek the strength from Allah the Almighty in order to refrain from committing sins and also to acquire the strength to worship Him. The promised Messiah, peace be upon Him, is to seek out this strength is istighfar. The promised Messiah states, "In fact, the true essence and reality of istighfar is this, but the meaning of istighfar is then extended to also include those who commit sins, so that they may be protected from all its ill consequences. However, the true purpose of istighfar is to safeguard oneself from human weaknesses. Therefore, a person who does not feel the need for reciting istighfar, while knowing that he is only a human, is in fact an ill-mannered atheist." Regarding the significance of attaining the closeness of Allah the Almighty and of reciting istighfar, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, "Man has been created for a very noble and great objective. The details of this objective have been outlined by the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, in the earlier part of the extract, which is to bring about a pure change in oneself, and this is a huge task for man, to bring about a pure change within himself. Moreover, one must reconcile with God the Almighty and should not displease Him in any way. He should also be aware of the purpose of His creation. One should know the purpose of why He has been sent to this world. And as we all know that Allah the Almighty has stated that it is to worship Allah the Almighty and to attain His nearness. Nonetheless, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, man has been created for a very noble and great objective. However, when the time comes and one does not fulfill those objectives, then Allah the Almighty brings his affairs to an end. For instance, take the example of a servant. If he does not perform his duty properly, then the master relieves him from his duty. Thus, why should God continue to grant life to a person who does not fulfill his duties? Citing an example, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, our Mirza Sahib, that is, the late father of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, sought various treatments for 50 years. However, he used to say that he was unable to find any effective medical cure. The truth is that without the decree of God, no particle that enters the human body can prove to be of benefit. Therefore, one should profusely seek repentance and forgiveness so that Allah the Almighty continues to show us grace. When the grace of God is shown, then the prayers are also accepted. Allah the Almighty has stated that at times He will accept the prayer, while on other occasions His divine decree should be followed. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, further states, until the divine decree is pronounced, I have very little hope of the acceptance of my prayers. Man is extremely weak and helpless. Therefore, one should always keep in view the grace of God. However, in order to keep view of Allah the Almighty's grace, we must keep Allah the Almighty in view and remain attached to Him. We need to seek repentance, tawbah, and to do istighfar, seek forgiveness. We also need to fulfill the dues to Allah the Almighty and the dues of His creation. Regarding how weeping and offering sadaqah, alms, can avert the punishment that has already been pronounced for a wrongdoing, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, prayers is a means of acquiring great accomplishments. It was the fervent prayers that saved the people of Yunus, peace be upon him, Jonah, from the divine punishment. According to my understanding, muhatabat means to express anger, that is, to show anger to one another or to become angry over something. Khut refers to one's hasty temperament, and it also relates to a fish or whale. And noon relates to haste or temper. Thus, Yunus, peace be upon him, that is, Jonah, was in a state of anger. The fact is that when the punishment was averted, Hazrat Yunus, peace be upon him, had a feeling of grievance, as he felt that his prayers and the prophecy went in vain. He also felt as if his prayers went unheard. Thus, this was a state of anger. However, there is a lesson to be learnt from this, that Allah the Almighty can change the course of destiny, and intensely emotional prayers and sadaqat can avert even when the punishment of wrongdoing has been decreed. Also, the concept of charity and benevolence is taken from this, and such an act pleases Allah the Almighty. In the book Ilmul Tabir al-Ruya, the discipline of the interpretation of dreams, the liver symbolizes wealth, therefore meaning that to offer alms is akin to offering one's life. When a person offers alms, he displays a great deal of sincerity and determination, and the fact is that the mere use of speech is of no avail unless one also practically displays it. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, further states that this is referred to as sadaqah, because this act leaves an imprint on the sadiqeen, the truthful. Regarding the Prophet Yunus, peace be upon him, it has been mentioned in Dur-e-Mansur, a commentary of the Holy Quran, that he said, I already knew that you will show your mercy if anyone comes before you. That is, Allah the Almighty will show his mercy. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, once stated in a gathering, and the details of this incident have been mentioned in the Al-Badr newspaper. It states that some people had come from outside of town, and after the Friday prayer, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, remained seated. The person who reported this in the newspaper further states that after the Friday prayer had been offered, various people from the neighboring area took the bayt, the pledge of allegiance. Thereafter, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, delivered a short address on the observance of prayer, fasting, and also to safeguard oneself from committing any acts of injustice. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, stated that they should frequently counsel the women, young girls and boys of the house to perform virtuous deeds. Just as a tree or field does not bear its fruits if sufficient water is not provided, in the same way, if the heart is not given the water of virtue and piety, it is of no use to a person. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, said that the subject of virtue should be often discussed in the homes, as it enables one to remain focused on prayers and reciting istighfar. It also draws one's attention towards performing other good deeds, and this, in fact, is the water by which the plant of virtue grows and flourishes and also strengthens one's faith. Moreover, the person reporting this further states in the newspaper that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, advised against joining gatherings which are purely for mockery and ridicule of others. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, also reminded them of the advice given by the prophets that sadaqah, alms and prayer can avert punishment. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, stated that if one does not have any money, but simply fills a pail of water from a well for someone, then even that is counted as sadaqah. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, stated that to serve others from one's own wealth, or by utilizing one's own physical faculties, is also considered as sadaqah. Thus, in order to gain the blessings of Allah the Almighty, while it is important to perform worship, at the same time, we must also abstain from committing any sort of injustice and cruelty. And we should also help people in need. In our homes, instead of spending more time in worldly pastimes, it is important to remind those in the house of carrying out virtuous deeds. We should avoid all those gatherings which are purely for mocking and poking fun at others. Just as the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, has stated, that all these points of goodness fall under the category of sadaqah. Helping other people is also counted as sadaqah. Removing hardships of people is also regarded as sadaqah. Thus, we must take note of this. On one occasion, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, stated, it is commonly found across all religions that the giving of alms and acts of benevolence and goodness can avert a trial. If God the Almighty warns one about the forthcoming trial, then that is deemed as a prophecy that contains a warning. Thus, by giving alms and charity and doing acts of goodness, and also through true repentance, inclining towards God Almighty, can any prophecy containing a warning be repelled? The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says further, 124,000 prophets all believed in the fact that trials can be averted through the giving of alms, sadaqah. If trials and misfortunes are such that they are unpreventable, then the giving of alms and acts of benevolence would be futile. Therefore, when God the Almighty states that I accept the giving of alms and offerings, it means that God Almighty has the power to accept even in those circumstances when on certain occasions he decrees through his messengers that a certain event will occur. Even prophecies that contain warnings, such as the one given to the people of Jonah, peace be upon him, can be averted. The people of Jonah, peace be upon him, prayed, gave offerings, and lamented, which saved them from the destruction that was forewarned. Thus, if the prophecies foretold by the prophets can be averted through the giving of alms and by doing good, then why would the difficulties that one faces as a result of one's own actions, which arise as a result of forsaking God Almighty, not be averted through inclining towards God Almighty by reciting istighfar, seeking forgiveness from Allah, through repentance, that is tawbah, and by giving alms, that is sadaqah. They most certainly can be obviated, so long as our crying and weeping, worship and giving of alms fall in line with the commandments of God Almighty. On one occasion, the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated that sadaqah averts the wrath of God Almighty and saves one from the death of committing an evil act. He then stated, save yourself from the fire by giving sadaqah, even if it is by spending half a date. We have already heard a saying of the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, in which he stated that doing good deeds, conducting yourself righteously, and abstaining from vice is also a sadaqah. Thus we must always bear these injunctions in mind, while at the same time we must always remember that reciting istighfar and prayers are of crucial importance. Istighfar, that is invoked from the bottom of the heart, can save an individual from committing a sin in the future. It also kindles the mercy of Allah the Almighty and grants nearness to Him. The Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, has stated, if the door of supplication is unlocked for anyone among you, it is as if the doors of mercy of God the Almighty have been opened for you. The Holy Prophet ﷺ said, out of all the things that can be implored from God the Almighty, the thing that is most desirable is to seek His shelter and safety. That is to seek refuge and protection of God the Almighty. The Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, also stated that prayer is beneficial against any affliction that one may be suffering from, as well as any hardship that one may face in the future. He then states, O servants of God, it is incumbent upon you that you inculcate the habit of praying. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, be mindful of the fact that if one commits a sin and fails to recognize it as a sin in its own right, that is far worse than the vice which is entailed with remorse. This type of vice is poisonous and lethal. If an individual repents, then it is as if they have never even committed that sin. The one who repents with sincerity and recites istighfar and seeks forgiveness for their previous sins and vows to abstain from that deed in the future will be as if they never committed that sin. The promised Messiah further states, the state of that individual who is unaware of their own actions is very dangerous. It is vital to abandon all acts of negligence and heedlessness. One should have full knowledge of what they are doing and should be aware of their actions. Repent for your sins and fear Allah the Almighty. If one repents and reforms themselves, they stand a better chance of being saved as compared to others. Thus, prayers can only be of benefit to those who reform themselves and establish a sincere connection with God the Almighty. If a prophet intercedes on behalf of an individual, yet that person fails to reform themselves and continues to live a life of ignorance, then that intercession will be of no benefit to them. May God the Almighty enable us to understand the true spirit of prayer, and may we incline sincerely towards Him. May we draw our attention towards reciting istighfar, seeking forgiveness from Allah, and seek forgiveness for our wrongdoings of the past by prostrating before God the Almighty. And may we make firm pledges to abstain from sin in the future and endeavor to fulfill those pledges. May we present offerings to avert misfortunes of the standard that would be accepted by God the Almighty. May God the Almighty always keep us in His protection and safeguard us from our enemies, every attack, and deflect it back onto them. May we always be counted amongst those people who have the fear of God in their hearts. And may we become the recipients of the prayers supplicated by the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and may we partake of those blessings. After the prayers, I will offer the funeral prayer of Mrs. Saada Bardavi Sahiba, the wife of Muri Bardavi Sahib, who passed away in Kosharab, Damascus. A gas leak from the heating system in her home caused a fire, resulting in her suffering from severe burns. She was taken to the hospital where she received treatment and her health began to improve. In this ordeal, she demonstrated an enormous amount of patience and would remain occupied in rendering praise and gratitude to God the Almighty. She would say to everyone that she is content with the will of God Almighty. However, according to her doctor, 4 days later she suffered a heart attack from which she was unable to recover and passed away on the 10th of January 2017. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. To Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. She accepted Ahmadiyyat after her husband in 2004, but in terms of loyalty and sincerity, she was more devoted than even her husband and children. Her husband, Mari Sahib, stated that soon after she accepted Ahmadiyyat, she fell pregnant. One day she fell down from the stairs and there was a risk that she may suffer a miscarriage. During the night in a dream, she heard a voice from the heavens in which a person exclaimed, "Fear not, Allah will protect this child." After this experience, they decided that if they were blessed with the boy, they would name him Ahmad. Thus, they did exactly this. Thus, when the child was 6 years old, she saw a similar dream in which a voice from the heavens resounded that Allah will safeguard this child. One day, she was walking on the side of the motorway with her son. He let go of his mother's hand and began crossing the motorway. She held her head and shut her eyes. When she opened her eyes, to her amazement, her son had safely crossed the motorway and stood on the other side waving. This reminded her of the dream she had seen earlier. Her husband writes that she would always excel in pious deeds. "Whenever I would think of performing a virtuous deed and say to myself that I will inform my wife about how we should perform such and such good act, she would reply that I also thought of the same thing, and with the conviction in my mind that you will not oppose me, I fulfill that task already. The husband would only be at the stage of thinking about it, and she would already have finished the task and would motivate him." Her husband states that rarely a week would go by when such an incident had not taken place. Her son-in-law, Mushib Sheri Sahib, who resides in Germany, stated that she was a very simple and pious-natured woman, who would never quarrel with anyone and was very generous. Her husband was arrested in 2009 and up until 2013. She looked after her children with great efforts and attention. She had to work in order to look after everyone and pay off their debts. She would readily partake in every pious endeavor. She would treat everyone with love and respect. She was always regular in paying her chanda, obligatory contribution. She is buried in the Khorshar region of Damascus. Prior to her burial, Ahmadis and non-Ahmadis offered funeral prayers for her separately. May Allah the Almighty have mercy on the departed and elevate her status, and may her offspring be granted the ability to establish a strong connection with the Jamaat and Khilafat.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'uzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ